If you have your Bibles this morning, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We want to continue to pray for Chester and Gail, as of course, as many of you know, their daughter passed away suddenly. She was 51 years old, and I know this is a difficult time for them, so please continue to pray for them, that the Lord would minister His strength in the name of Jesus. I want to go to a verse that we talked about last week as we were talking about the importance of being knit together. So I think we should pray before we get into the Word this morning. Father, I just thank You and praise You for Your precious Holy Spirit. I thank You and I praise You this morning, Lord, that as we open up Your Word, that Your Holy Spirit will speak to us and minister to us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just pray today, Lord, that Your work would continue in each one of our lives this morning. Lord, we need You. We need You in our hearts. We need You in our lives, O God. In our families, we need You, Lord. In our everyday life, we need You this morning. So, Father, we just pray that Your Word will speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 15. And again, we talked last week about being knit together. Being knit together. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, we always refer to the church as a family. How many know that each local congregation is described as a family? A family. And part of being a family is being knit together. And we talked about how, you know, when you knit, the wool or the fabric is being interwoven. Interwoven. That means that our lives come together. We open our hearts up not only to God, but we open our hearts up to each other. Hello? We open our hearts up to each other. How many know that God doesn't want us to go through a crisis by ourselves? How many know that God doesn't want us to deal with our problems with just us and God? We have a family that can help us. Can somebody say amen this morning? You say, well, I shared with somebody one time and it didn't go very well. You know, if we stopped doing something because it didn't go very well, we'd all be, you know, in a cocoon. How many know that sometimes you got to do it again? You got to trust God and do it again. Even if you've been hurt once, doesn't mean you're going to be hurt the next time. God has a plan, and His plan is that the church be a family. That's the plan of God. That's not my plan. That's His plan. That our lives would be interwoven together. Notice what it says, by which every joint supplies. You know, the arm is not disconnected from the body. How many know if my arm was just laying there on the front pew, It's useless. It only becomes effective when it's joined to my body, right? And so whatever gift and talent or ability we have only becomes effective when it's joined to the body. Hello! That's what God has called us. According to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body. If we want to grow, we have to grow together. Let me say that again. If we're going to grow, we have to grow together. I want to say it again. If we're going to grow, even spiritually, we have to grow together. I've got to say it one more time. Because we have these little independent entities floating around, right? All over Creston, they're floating around, saying, I can grow by myself. No, you can't grow by yourself. We grow together. Hello, even spiritually, we grow together. Hello. Now, I'm going to show you that from the Word this morning. Okay, let's move on. Someone said, let's move on. I want to talk about the power of unity. Genesis chapter 11. We're going to go to an interesting set of scriptures in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. You know, there's a little app you can buy. It's called Babel. And they named it Babel because you can learn any language. How many have seen that commercial on television? You can learn any language. French, German, whatever. All you got to do is buy the app and buy their interface, and you can learn a new language. Where did they get the word Babel? Yeah, that's exactly right. Have you ever heard the term, that guy's just babbling on? He's just babbling on. Where did they get that word? How many know so many words that we use have a Bible base to them? Right? A Bible base to them. You hear it on television. You hear it in movies. You hear it on the news. They have a Bible base. And here we have this particular set of verses that talk about Babel. Babel. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Oh, wow. What a mission. Then verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. Wow, God recognized something was happening. Something was taking place. Verse 6, and the Lord said, indeed the people are one. The people are one. And they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. That's an amazing statement from God Himself. I want you to think about what I just read. This is God speaking about something that was happening on the face of the earth. He is talking about a group of people. And this is what they were doing. They were building a city with a tower that would reach up to heaven. And he says concerning them, they have one language. How many know that if you reverse this and you bring it into the church, it tells me that when we do things God's way and when we come together as one and speak the same thing, there's nothing that we can't do that God told us to do. Nothing. He says this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. If two or three shall agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done in the name of Jesus. Do you hear what I just said? If two or three believers shall come together in his name, there he is in the midst. If two or three Christians agree together on anything, it shall be done in the name of Jesus. That's the power of being one. In one mind, in one heart, in one spirit, it's amazing what God can do. If these people could accomplish something without God, how much more can we accomplish something with God? Are you hearing me this morning? If they could get God's attention by just building a tower, and God would say concerning them, whatever they put their hearts to, because they are one and have one language, there's nothing they can't accomplish. How much more do we have the authority and ability from God when we come together to accomplish great things for Him? Think about it. Now look at verse 7. God says, enough of that. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. And of course, we know that's why we have so many languages today, right? It all began right here when God scattered them. Let's move on this morning to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. You know, there's power in unity. And let me say something about unity. Unity is not just getting a bunch of people in a building. That's not unity. Hello? Because you have 100 people in a building does not mean that they're in unity. Hello? Unity is a heart issue. Unity is something the Holy Spirit does in people's hearts as they open their lives up to God. Are you hearing me? That's really what unity is. It's something spiritual. It's not a physical thing. If we could just get everybody together, then there will be unity. No. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Hello, someone. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever met another Christian? No, seriously, have you ever met another Christian? Have you ever met another Christian and you're on different pages? Exactly. You're speaking another language. They're saying something, and you're saying something, and the two of you don't seem to be on the same page. Unity is when everyone is on the same page. When they're singing from the same hymnal, from the same songbook. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning in the Spirit? It's not just getting people together. It has to be the Holy Spirit working in people's lives. It's the Spirit of God that gets everyone on the same page. It's the Spirit of God that gets everyone thinking the same thing. Have you ever met another Christian that you've never seen before in your life, and you start talking to them, and immediately you're on the same page? How many know what I'm talking about? It's like, even though you've never seen that person before in your life, as soon as you start talking to them, and as they are talking to you and you are talking to them, you begin to realize that your lives are intertwined in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says here in verse 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit. With one mind. Stand fast in one spirit and one mind. Before that believer says anything, you can sense that they're going through something. Are you following me this morning? When you are interwoven with other people, before they even open their mouth to share their problem, you sense something in the spirit realm that tells you that there's a problem and they need prayer. That's what I'm talking about. They don't have to say anything. You know, it's the same thing with your kids, right? When they were small, when they came home, you knew something wasn't right. Right? Because when you're part of a family, a real family, you begin to sense what's happening in your kids' lives. You become sensitive to something that they're going through, even before they open their mouth to talk about it, you sense it. It ought to be the same thing in the church. Before someone even opens their mouth to share something, you already know what they're going to say because the Holy Ghost has already spoken to you because your life is interwoven with their life and you sense what they're going through. Now, some people don't want what I'm talking about. They want to be little, as I said, little independent entities floating around. Don't bother me. Don't talk to me. I don't want to share anything I'm going through. I want to do it alone, by myself, on my own. But friends, I want you to know, in the long run, it doesn't work out. Because that's not how God created us. God created us to bind together with somebody else, to bond together with other people. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me this morning? That is the plan and the purpose of God. Whether it's 50, 60, 100 people or 200 people, whatever it may be, God wants us to come together in the name of Jesus. You say, I don't want that. I don't want any part of that. But you know what? when you decide that you want to live by yourself or alone, or if you want to say, I don't want to be part of that church, or I don't want to be part of that family, you cut off the answers to the problems that you're facing. Are you hearing me? Because when God speaks, he doesn't just speak to us individually. He speaks to us as a body. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Through tongues and interpretation and prophecy and words of wisdom and knowledge. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, if I were to go to Korea, which maybe I will go to Korea. Yeah. The culture is totally different than it is here. People do things together. There's a sense of the intertwining. Even for those who are not even believers, there's that sense. In North America is, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it on my own. So get out of my life. But that's not the Bible way. The Bible says they shared all things. Read it in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3. They shared everything that they had with each other. Can I say that again? They shared everything that they had with each other, including the knowledge that they received from the Lord. Glory to God. As I will stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Let's go a little deeper, can we? Unity requires hard work. I want to say that again. Unity requires hard work. It doesn't just happen. It requires your will giving in to the will of God. Hey, why are you laughing? I don't know. I just decided to laugh. You know, it does. It requires hard work. It doesn't just happen. You got to work at it. Not in the flesh, but in the spirit. But it requires your will bending and submitting to the will of God. Oh, Lord, help us. Philippians chapter 4. I love the Bible because the Bible talks about everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Wasn't there a movie that Clint Eastwood did one time? The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly? One of those spaghetti westerns? They called them spaghetti westerns because they were done in Italy. That's just a little trivia for you. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. How many know the good, the bad, and the ugly can happen in a church? Boy, I ought to be hearing some shouts there somewhere. Someone said, I'm not going to that church. There's good, bad, and ugly happening. Someone said, I'm not going to church. There's too many hypocrites. I always say, well, come and join us, and there'll be one more. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy, and crowns. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Eudia, and I implore Chi. Okay, I don't know if I said that right. To be of the same mind in the Lord. Obviously, there was a disagreement. Problems in the early church? Yes, there were problems. There were difficulties. And here Paul is saying to the church at Philippi, I want you to encourage these women to get along. I'm going to stay like this until someone says amen. Amen. Thank you. You know, it takes work to develop unity. Sometimes there's going to be disagreements. Even Paul and Barnabas had a sharp disagreement. Someone said, I don't want to be in a church where there's disagreements. And I always say, well, I disagree with you. It's impossible. There's going to be times where there needs to be the mending of fences. Hello? Hello? There's going to be times and seasons where there needs to be restoration of relationships. But it takes two to tango. It takes two to tango. I've never tangoed, but that's what I hear. For our relationship to be restored, it's going to take the work of both parties to bring it together. Can't be all the work of one party and nobody wants to do something on the other side. No, there has to be the working together to restore the relationship. And here, Paul is saying, I want you to encourage these two individuals to work it out and get these people back into harmony with one another. Look what it says in verse 3, and I urge you also, true companions, help these women. Notice it's not men. No, I'm just kidding. Help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Help them. Not to make it worse, but to make it better. You see, it takes work to see unity. And without unity, you can't see the move that God wants to bring to this valley. God has to bring us together in the name of Jesus. There has to be oneness of heart and oneness of mind and oneness of purpose and oneness of spirit. Hallelujah. He's saying, you know what? It's going to take some work to develop unity. Look at Colossians chapter 2, my last set of verses. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 1. Now, I don't know what it's like here in Creston. Really don't. Haven't been here long enough. But when I was pastoring in Toronto, I asked this lady one time. I said, have you seen so-and-so? She said, who's that? I said, it's the person that sits behind you every week for the last 500 years. She didn't know who that person was. Who? And you know, they were the same culture. So it wasn't a cultural problem. Same. I said, Joe, you know Joe, the guy that's only got three fingers. Don't know who he is. Isn't that sad? Not a huge church. You know, it's sad when we are only concerned about ourselves and we never take an interest in anyone else. That's sad. When we don't even know the people that are sitting around us every week. How can there be unity? Impossible. Well, I don't like that person. Well, you don't choose your family. I said you don't choose your family. You chose your wife. Not a bad decision. But you don't choose your family. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. Hearts knit together in love. Are you hearing me? Knit together. What's the motivating factor? The love of God. That's the motivating factor for unity, is because I love my brother and sister in Christ. And attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Every gift, every talent, every ability that you have is for the uplifting and the upbuilding of the body of Christ. I ought to hear more amens than that. That's the truth. Whatever God has gifted you with is not for your own benefit, but for the uplifting of the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the fulfillment that we gain is not only in our relationship with God, but in the fulfilling and the outflow of that gift to the body of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, being knit together in love. Knit together. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Friends, when we come together with one mind and one heart and one spirit, and we have the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing that we put our hands to that we can't accomplish in the name of Jesus. Can somebody shout amen this morning? Nothing. I want to thank God for Debbie this morning, that she took that step of faith to take her tea outside of the building and take it to Ramada and take the gospel out into the marketplace and let people know that God is not dead. He's alive. Hallelujah. I want to say something this morning. Unity is serious business, and God's serious about it. And we're at that point now where God's saying, are you willing to let your life be interwoven with the life of your brother and sister in Christ? Let God do his work. In the name of Jesus. Will you bow your heads this morning?